From the headquarters of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette on Capitol and Scott in downtown Little Rock, this is Capitol and Scott, and I'm your host, Laura Farrar. We've been seeing a lot of sort of Amazon delivery trucks around town and around Arkansas and Little Rock. And Amazon is expanding across the country and in particular in more rural areas, including the South and in Arkansas. So we're joined today by Noel Oman, one of our reporters here who covers transportation and development. And Noel, you recently visited one of these Amazon fulfillment centers located at the port of Little Rock. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about your story and learn more about what you saw and sort of how these fulfillment centers are impacting the state. So first, I mean, how did it come about that you were able to visit this fulfillment center?
It was something that was on my radar, that it was under construction and it was close to opening, and I was just kind of bird dogging it. I just had to be very patient over several months for them to be ready to accept me. I've seen it done elsewhere. I'd also heard that some of the local officials had had a tour, and so I knew it was getting really close, and so I kept pressing them, and then they said we can make it happen on this particular week or day or two, and so that's how it happened.
So I'm curious, what exactly is the Port of Little Rock? What happens there? Are there other businesses there?
There's an industrial park. The port's been around close to 60 years maybe, and it's on the Arkansas River. It's was made possible by the United States Army Corps of Engineers, who dredged the river, installed a series of locks up and down the river between Mississippi and Oklahoma, Mississippi River and Oklahoma, and that made it possible to use barges to ship goods up and down the river. The Little Rock Port benefits from that greatly. They have a couple of thousand acres maybe of industrial park, and they've tried to, or they want to make it so that all the businesses out there need the port, need the rail, need the barge traffic. They actually, the port makes all its money from rail movements inside the port. They have a short line railroad. Union Pacific brings a mile long train in. Every car that comes in, they make, you know, $300. So that's at the port. Trains are their, how they make their money. But the barges are there too, and they make some money off of that, and then especially on the loading, the storing of products and that kind of thing. So I think they're glad to have Amazon at the port, but it's not what their target business is at the port, because Amazon doesn't use any barge traffic or rail. It's all trucked in off of 440, which is another convenience for the port. Is well situated to take advantage of all those modes of traffic.
Yeah, that was what I was curious about. So you're saying that the goods that Amazon's getting at this center are, they're not coming in via rail or barge, they're coming in basically from trucks from all over the country, or?
I'm not sure how that works, but they have several stages of warehousing, and the fulfillment centers, they fulfill people's orders. They put them all together. But before that, there is another type of facility where they get all the stuff from the manufacturers, and then they can read hourly where there are needs in their system, and then that dictates where the trucks go and that kind of thing.
So there are, I believe you wrote in your article, around 110 of these fulfillment centers across the country.
Yes.
And the one at the port here is one of the most state-of-the-art, from my understanding. I'm just curious, you know, I know Amazon is obviously very sophisticated in terms of logistics. What did you see when you were there?
You know, it's a lot of conveyor belts, you know, conveyor belt system on steroids. I used to think the airport, when they installed an automatic baggage handling system, you know, they had to build a small addition to the terminal to fit this system. And it's, I thought at the time it was massive, and this was, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. But this is on a whole nother level. And these are smart conveyor belts. They have things that read the barcodes on the yellow boxes that go by, and that dictates where the conveyor belt will send. The conveyor belt can automatically send it to the right place for it to go inside the building to be loaded and packaged and all that.
Do you have any sense of, I mean, what type of products are at this center? Is it just a range of...
You know, they're not going to, as they told me, they're not going to store snow plows or snow shovels in an Arkansas fulfillment center. They're going to store, you know, toilet paper, all your toiletries, your dry food. There's no refrigerated stuff there, but it's, I guess, clothes. They have, I never saw the packaging part, but I saw where they take the stuff in and it's all goes around to where it needs to go based on what their robotics and their, you know, stuff tells them. I mean, it's all automatic. Then there's these massive enclosed areas that are, you know, larger than several football fields full of robots. And they're just these platforms that have these shelves on them that are probably 10 feet high and are 3 foot by 3 foot around, and they can weigh up to a ton, 2,000 pounds. And they go to the pickers. They have these people, and they have a yellow bin that represents someone's order, and they read it into the system that controls all these robots. And they're on a fence on the outside looking in at these robots. And these robots will automatically, with the stuff they have for the order, they come to this person, the picker, and they go through this robot for whatever thing, and then that robot moves away. Another one comes in its place. It was amazing. And they said this is one of their three most modern. One of the other ones is just built in Nashville. And I forget the other one. I want to say Memphis, but I'm not certain on that.
And you mentioned these pickers. These are actual people?
Yes, the pickers are the employees, yes. They're measured. They're scored on how fast they pick. And then they're, you know, I said, well, are you going to get fired? No, they'll have people come by and train them to how to do it faster. There's tricks to the trade of picking. And you know, it's a brand new building. It hadn't been open that long. So they were all the employees were very proud to be on the ground floor of a new fulfillment center. And that's just all the way from the general manager on down. You know, it was very interesting.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, so this is going to employ around 2,000 or already is employing around 2,000?
Already is employing 2,000. There's some reports out there as many as 3,000 there.
Wow.
But they said more than 2,000 already there. Now, it's virtually a 24/7 operation, and there's plenty of room inside there for people to work.
What struck you about some of the people who you met working there? I mean, it seems like some of them had some sort of diverse or interesting backgrounds.
They wanted to promote that. Definitely, that was the order of the day, is to promote how diverse a workforce they were, how diverse the management was. But, you know, I met a 62-year-old woman who was working there. And, you know, I mean, it's very fast-paced. You have to move around a lot. She's lost 15 pounds and lowered her blood pressure. And, I mean, I could not believe how enthusiastic she was at her job. She was like a, you know, 18-year-old.
You mentioned that one of the sort of higher-up managers, and by the way, this is a 3.6 million square foot facility, which I can't really even fathom how big that must be, but one of the higher-ups was walking something like 8 miles a day within the facility because it was so big.
Yes, and I understand that some positions require up to 15 miles a day. And by the way, you don't take it's five levels, you don't take the elevator. You take metal stairs, and you know, it's very safety conscious, it's a very dangerous place to work. I was not dressed for it in a long coat that, I mean, they said stay away from the conveyors. And I mean, it's just a lot of stuff coming at you real fast. But on each level, except for the first level, I think the second, third, fourth, and fifth, there's all these robots. I think there's about 2,000 of them. I mean, there's almost as many robots as people in there. And they're on each of the three or four levels. So there's someone has to watch them because they can either, one, break down, or two, stuff fall out of them if they're not loaded on there correctly. So when one of those breaks down or when a package falls off, that poses a danger to the other robots moving in, and they're moving with each other, but I don't think they have the capability to say, oh, I got to avoid this. So there's a person that goes in there, and he or she is outfitted with a special coat. You know, it looks like an emergency vest, but it's also, I think the robots can recognize this person as supposed to be there, or they file like a flight plan. And so to go get it, and that's what they spend all their shift doing.
Shifting gears just a little bit, I did want to ask you, the orders that are being fulfilled there, they're then sent to a delivery center. Are they being delivered regionally or just in Arkansas?
I think most of it's just in Arkansas, but I'm not sure. I think if you want a snow shovel, you're going to get a snow shovel from, you know, the Midwest.
Sure.
And so somebody in the Midwest who wants something that might be more popular down here, you know, some Razorback gear, it'll come from here. It just doesn't serve this area, but I think a lot of it does.
Right. That's so fascinating. Do you have any sense of what this means for economic impact at this point?
Well, I mean, at first blush, I thought it was. But, you know, I remember somebody early on saying, this is taking sales away from somewhere else. There's not going to be an increase. Amazon's not increasing the sales of toilet paper or other products. They are merely taken away from somewhere else. And I think that's kind of reflected in the value of this property versus the value of, say, Park Plaza. That's been reassessed down from $60 million to $30 million. It's gone bankrupt. It's been sold for a song. And same as other shopping centers here in central Arkansas. Even the Walmarts and Sam's Club have been in litigation over challenging how valuable their properties are.
Sure. And it's just a reflection of the decline of brick and mortar because of e-commerce, you know, nationally or even globally. You were saying this building, this fulfillment center, is worth something like, what, some $111 million?
Yes, and that's about how much I think it costs to pay. For and it's the most valuable piece of property on the books in Pulaski County. It's worth more than four shopping centers now that have been assessed downward. And it's you know, this is online sales and how it's changed the dynamics of retail. It's come to our back door.
And that that assessment, that $111 million, doesn't yet include the
personal business property, the robotics. That would be very interesting when it comes out. And I, you know, in my reporting, I found out that, and I didn't know this, that the Maybelline facility in North Little Rock had $81 million in their personal property of the equipment inside their facility, which is only valued at $18 million. And the general manager, by the way, of the Amazon facility, she was an executive at Maybelline.
Right. So that assessment of that property, because it's so high, I mean, that would have some, you would think, tax benefits.
Yes, it most certainly will. But by the same token, there's less tax money coming in over here from the brick and mortar. So you're not getting more necessarily. It's probably going to end up being a wash.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
So we will be back with another episode of Capital and Scott on December 15th. If you have any feedback or ideas for the show, you can click the link in the description for Capital and Scott wherever you listen to your podcast or directly on our website, arkansasonline.com. We'll see you next time, and thanks for listening.